Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Amen, 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 my dear brothers and sisters. If Jesus is our rock, we have nothing to fear. If your 2 feet are placed or standing on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, you will not be moved. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Reformation News broadcast. And today we're featuring another uplifting, another encouraging sermon by none other than the late Bible teacher, Pastor Warren Wiersbe, great man of God, great Bible teacher. And today I am featuring his sermon entitled, Don't Lose Heart. You can't listen, saints. There is no way that the storms of this life can buffet you so that you can lose heart. Not if Jesus is in the boat. Remember, we have two accounts. The first account is the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, and a storm arises, and Jesus is sleeping. And the storm gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and Jesus continues to sleep. And then the disciples, you know, shake him. Hey, listen, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care about us? And then Jesus comes, and what does he do? He calms the storm. And he says to his disciples, oh, ye of little faith, I'm with you. I'm with you. If I'm with you, there's no storm that can take you down. But you see, we have the storm right in front of us, and we have Jesus right in front of us, and instead of focusing on Jesus, we focus on the storm. How deadly the storm is, and how dark it is outside, and the lightning, and the crackling of the thunder, and the rain, and it's pouring, and the waves are getting higher, and fear not. Emmanuel is with us. God is with us. In the other story, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to this mountain to pray. I'll go meet you on the other side. Take the boat. Go from here over there. And they're rowing. They're trying to make it over to the other side, and a storm arises. And again, they start crying and belly aching and screaming. Grown men crying and, oh, it's all over. We're going to die. We're going to drown, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus comes walking on water. Walking on water. Like if there was no storm. If Jesus is your rock, don't lose heart. There are going to be storms, but he is with us in the midst of the storm. So here is Dr. Warren Wiersbe, the late Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He went home to be with the Lord, and we sorely miss him. But here's his sermon, and I'll be back after the sermon to make some closing remarks.
Welcome to Back to the Bible Radio, featuring best-selling author and internationally known Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe.
Right now I'm speaking to some servant of God who is just discouraged. You're ready to quit. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Then over in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. We do not lose heart. I saw a book advertised recently about ministerial burnout. Burnout is that new phrase that's being used to describe people who have just had it. They're through, whether they're ministers or school teachers or doctors or whatever. They've just used up all their energy. They've lost all their hope, and they are about to quit. We faint not. You know, your pastor goes through times when he's ready to quit. Maybe you are a cause of that. I don't know. I hope not. And I'm sure not, but preachers feel like quitting, and deacons and Sunday school teachers and just everyday garden variety Christians. We have our days, perhaps our weeks, when we feel like fainting. Well, at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Paul gives us some facts, some down-to-earth practical facts And if we will understand these facts and meditate on them, it will keep us from fainting. Fact number one, it is a privilege to serve God. Now, you feel like quitting. You feel like handing in your resignation. Well, read verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, or this kind of ministry, that's the thrust of the Greek there. Therefore, seeing we have this kind of ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul knew it was a privilege to serve God. Now, what kind of a ministry is it? Well, the kind he has described in chapters 2 and 3 of 2 Corinthians. Back in chapter 2, verse 14, it's a triumphant ministry. Now, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. As I've said before, we are not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. It's a triumphant ministry. It is a sufficient ministry. Paul cries out in verse 16 of chapter 2, who is sufficient for these things? And he answers the question in verse 5 of chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us sufficient, able ministers of the New Testament. You know, maybe you're getting discouraged because you're depending too much on yourself, your strength, your wisdom, and you're not leaning on God's sufficiency. It's a triumphant ministry. It's a sufficient ministry. It's a glorious ministry. Over and over again in chapter 3, he talks about glory. The glory of the old covenant was great, but the glory of the new covenant is much greater. The old covenant glory was fading. The new covenant glory gets brighter and brighter. It's a glorious ministry. It's a life-changing ministry. So here is the first fact you want to lay hold of when you feel like fainting. It is a privilege to serve God. That's verse 1. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we have a second fact we have to reckon with before we can faint. It's this: God's word accomplishes God's work. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, distorting it, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul here is referring, of course, to his enemies at Corinth. The Judaizers had gotten in, this group of people who were sort of a cult. They taught that you needed Moses and the law in order to be saved and sanctified. And they never started churches, and they never won souls. They always stole somebody else's converts, especially Paul's. And so they had moved into Corinth, and they had been spreading lies about Paul. And in order to accomplish their ministry, their work, they were misinterpreting, misapplying, distorting the word of God. Paul says, we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of dishonesty. Now, you be careful of people who twist the word of God. You can prove anything from the Bible if you're dishonest. If you take verses out of their context, if you twist them around, you can prove anything from the word of God. Every false cult refers in one way or another to the Bible. They'll all claim to be based upon the Bible. And yet they teach such a heresy. Paul said, I don't have to do those things. I don't have to get involved in dishonesty, craftiness, a deceitful manipulating of the word of God, secret, shameful kinds of preaching and teaching. I have nothing to hide. You know, all the way through this first section, these first seven chapters, Paul keeps saying, I have nothing to hide. Here I am. I am ministering open. I commend myself to every man's conscience. You know, there's some preachers you can't ask any questions. They've got all the answers, and you don't dare ask any questions. You don't even dare disagree with them. We need to be like those Bereans back in the book of Acts who searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. And when you hear me minister the word of God, you better search the scriptures to see whether or not I am really staying true to the word of God. Paul says, we trust the word of God to accomplish the work of God. Now, if you're sharing the word of God with sincerity and honesty, if your conscience is clear and you are commending yourself to every man's conscience, you have nothing to hide, don't quit. Don't quit. Now, I know that this false crowd of deceivers and manipulators and propagandizers, they may seem to be very successful. That's all right. Just don't pay attention to it now. You go on serving God, sharing the word of God, because God's word accomplishes God's work. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, God says, I am watching over my word to fulfill it. God watches over his word. You don't know what happens to it, but God knows. It's like sowing seed. It's like the rain that comes down from heaven. It will accomplish the purposes of God. Now verses 3 and 4. Before you faint, here's a third fact you want to consider. In ministry, you're fighting a battle. It's not easy. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Paul said, I'm not hiding the gospel. The devil is the one who's doing it. In whom the God of this age, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you are faithfully serving God, the devil is going to fight you. If you're having an easy time of it, there must be something wrong. Spurgeon used to say, the devil never kicks a dead horse. Throughout 2 Corinthians, you find Paul referring to the opposition of the devil. Here in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, he tells us Satan blinds the minds of the unsaved. Chapter 11, verse 3, he tries to beguile the minds of the saved people. And then in chapter 12, verse 7, he buffets the bodies of saved people. Now here are three works of the devil. He blinds and he beguiles and he buffets. And he's not going to stand by and let you succeed sharing the word of God, revealing God's truth. The devil's a liar. In verse 2, Paul says we have the manifestation of the truth. And when the devil sees anybody sharing the truth in love and in sincerity, he comes along with lies. He blinds the minds of people. I might be speaking right now to someone who says, you know, Mr. Wiersbe, I listen to you, and I don't know what you're talking about. All of this is so vague to me. I'll tell you why. It's because Satan's blinded your mind. Interestingly enough, he uses religion to blind people's minds. He uses self-righteousness. He uses lies. He uses false promises. He promises one thing and produces something else. He does not want you to know about the gospel of Christ, the glorious gospel of Christ. He doesn't want you to see the light. Notice that. Lest the light should shine unto them. The devil wants to keep you in the darkness because he is the prince of darkness. And if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, one day you will end up in eternal darkness. We are in a battle. So when you feel like fainting, just remind yourself, in ministry, you are fighting a battle. And it gets harder and harder. We're living in a world where people want to believe lies. It's a battle. It's a battle between light and darkness. It's a battle between life and death. It's a battle between truth and lies. And my friend, life is not a playground. It's a battleground. Don't quit. In ministry, you're fighting a battle. Verses 5 and 6, there's a fourth fact I want you to consider before you faint. Honor Christ and God will bless you, for we preach not ourselves. Watch out for the preacher who preaches himself. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Back in chapter 1, verse 24, Paul said, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Paul was not a spiritual dictator. Paul was a servant for Jesus' sake. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? He gives us the method of our ministry. We preach. The message of our ministry, we preach Christ. Christ Jesus, the Lord. The manner of our ministry, we're servants. The motive for our ministry, for Jesus' sake. We aren't servants for our own sake. We aren't servants for the church's sake. We're servants for Jesus' sake. And what's the result of this? Well, if you preach Christ, and if you're a servant, if your motive is right, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, Paul had that experience on the road to Damascus, didn't he? He saw a bright light, and then he saw the Lord Jesus, hath shined in our hearts to to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a marvelous statement. What he's saying is this: if you'll honor Jesus Christ and preach Christ, God will bless. The light will shine in on hearts. He's comparing salvation to creation. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The earth was empty, and the earth was formless and ugly. And God said, "Let there be light," and God brought order out of chaos. He brought beauty out of chaos. He formed and he filled and he gave us a beautiful world. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. God says, "Let there be light," and the light shines into people's hearts. Oh, that's a marvelous thing. And you are a part of that. Now, when you feel like fainting, just remember, it's a privilege to serve God. God's word will accomplish God's work. In ministry, you're fighting a battle. And if you'll honor Christ, God will bless your ministry. Now, the ministry involves suffering. It's a burden. It's a battle. It's a joy. It's a delight. We'd rather do that than anything else because that's what God's called us to do. We sometimes get weary in the Lord's work, but thank God we don't get weary of the Lord's work. Paul tells us that we can keep from fainting if we'll just follow the instructions that he gives us in this section, verses 7 through 15. Instruction number one, focus on the treasure, not on the vessel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Focus on the treasure, not on the vessel. Now, what is this treasure? Well, what he talked about back in the previous section. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ that shines in our hearts. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This new creation, this new life within. You and I are just clay vessels. That's all you are. Psalm 103:14, he remembers our frame. He knows that we're just dust, just dust. Now, you may think you're steel or iron, but you're not. You're dust. You came from dust, and you're going back to dust, and you're just a vessel. You know why God compares you to a vessel? A vessel is weak. Of yourself, you have nothing. Paul had said previously, who is sufficient for these things? And, of course, anyone knows that clay is not too strong. Clay is weak. And so we're vessels because God wants to remind us of our weakness. But we are vessels because a vessel can contain and share. All God wants us to be is empty and clean and available, and he'll do the rest. If you are empty of self and empty of sin and clean and available, God will fill your vessel, and then you know what'll happen? You'll be troubled, and that'll spill the blessing over on other people. You'll be perplexed and persecuted and cast down. And going through these experiences of difficulty, you know why? It spills the blessing out on other people. Ralph Waldo Emerson used to say, it is hard to carry a full cup. And you and I want to carry a full cup and just enjoy all of this instead of sharing it. The vessel doesn't contain for itself. The vessel contains for others. I have not had to be in the hospital too much, praise the Lord, but when I have, and they brought me my medicine, I didn't care if it was in a plastic cup or a paper cup. I wanted my medicine. The important thing was what was in the vessel, not the vessel itself. They didn't have to bring me my medicine in a golden chalice. I was happy to take it out of a little plastic cup because I needed the medicine. Now, God looks upon us as vessels. He says, you're clay. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. And he says, I want to use you, but you're going to go through trials. A vessel has to go through the furnace to be hardened and beautified. A vessel has to go through difficulty to spill over some of the blessing. God permits these trials. And God controls these trials, and God watches over his vessel. You may be troubled, you don't have to be distressed, but you don't have to be in despair, because you know God's going to lead you through. Persecuted, but God won't forsake you. Cast down, yes, but you won't be destroyed, because God is so working that death might abound in us, but life through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a paradox there, isn't there? Always bearing about in the body, daily being exposed to death, the dying of the Lord Jesus. So that, now here's the reason, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. God permits these trials so that the vessel will bring glory to God. We die, but others live. We suffer, but others are blessed, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. J. Hudson Taylor was being introduced at a meeting one day, and the man went on and on bragging about Hudson Taylor, and finally said, "And now here is our illustrious guest." And Hudson Taylor stood up and said, "I am the little servant of an illustrious master. Focus on the treasure, not on the vessel." Secondly, focus on the master, not on the servant. Notice that? For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, you see, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, a quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Focus on the master, not on the servant. You see, our purpose in life is that the life of Jesus might be made manifest. Verse 10. We experience the dying of the Lord Jesus so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. This is what Paul meant in Philippians 1 when he said, Christ is the one who's being magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Galatians 2:20, Christ liveth in me. And so as we go through the difficulties of life, we die to ourselves, and out of this death comes life for the sake of others. All of this is by faith. Verse 13, having the same spirit of faith, when you walk by faith and not by sight, when you trust God, then the life of Jesus is manifest. When difficulty comes, faith says, out of this difficulty will come blessing. When death comes, faith says, out of this death will come life. When persecution comes, faith says, out of this persecution will come growth and advancement. You see, we believe, therefore we speak. Now, what are you speaking today? Well, you're speaking according to what you believe. If you're walking around saying, well, we're through, the church is going to end, my Sunday school class is done for, God is not going to do anything, you're speaking because of unbelief. You're saying, I don't believe, and therefore this is the way I'm speaking. Paul said, we believe. We believe God. We believe the God who can bring life out of death, the God who can bring order out of chaos, the God who can bring light into darkness, the God who always leads us in triumph, the God who always enables us to do his will. We believe, and therefore we speak. Nothing will shut your mouth faster than unbelief. Instruction number one, focus on the treasure, not on the vessel. Verses 7 through 10. Focus on the master, not on the servant, verses 11 through 13. Verses 14 and 15, focus on the future glory, not on the present trial. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus, that's the greatest victory God ever wrought, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Paul said, even if I do die, I'm going to be raised from the dead. I would much rather serve God and then lose my life, give it for him, than to waste my life. Somebody was scolding George Whitefield one day because he worked too hard. He preached too hard. He'd sometimes preach 20 times a week. And George Whitefield said, I would much rather wear out than rust out. That's good. For all things are for your sakes. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it for others. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Grace and glory, they go together, don't they? He will give me grace and glory. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace who has called us to his eternal glory. Paul says, don't focus on the present trial, focus on the future glory. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. We know that death has been defeated. Now, if our greatest enemy has been defeated, why worry about any other enemy? We know that the Lord Jesus has resurrection power. What we are doing for the sake of others. Therefore, don't give up. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't resign. Don't hand in your resignation. Focus on the treasure, not on the vessel. Focus on the master, not on the servant. Focus on the future glory, not on the present trial. And you will not faint.
If you missed part of the
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sermon, wonderful. And this is why we don't give up here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. We keep doing our bid for King and Kingdom. Our King is Jesus, and the Kingdom is the Kingdom of God. We're small here. We're a little itty-bitty ministry. But you know what? The devil knows about us. Trust me when I tell you, the devil knows about Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church because we have a team of people who just love Jesus. And all we do is talk about Jesus. And all we do is we contend for the faith. And all we do is carry the blessing, which is the message of Jesus Christ. So to my fellow brothers and sisters who are at home, and who are going through, don't lose heart. To my fellow radio host who may have bouts with ministerial depression, don't lose heart. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's keep praying. Let's keep coming on the air. Let's keep doing all that we do in Jesus' name. Well, I will see you all back here on Monday here at Reformation News. I want to close out today's broadcast with a reminder that we did a lot of shows here. Sister Marie was on the air. Sister Marie with her series on the Nets, and Sister AJ with her series on the young wolf pups who are up and coming. Listen, we can't give up. The enemy is putting out nets day and night. We have to come on the air to tell the brothers and sisters, watch out for the nets. The enemy has not stopped raising up wolf pups. The devil has many, many wolves in the pulpit, but he's raising up a new generation to take over for the old wolves. We can't stop reminding you of that. We can't lose heart. We just can't. We can't. So keep tuning in, saints. Tune in here. Tune in over at Daily Manna from Heaven. And I hope and pray that whatsoever we do, as we do it for the Lord, will be a blessing to you. Don't give up. Don't. Send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you and see you all on Monday.
You know, we've been having a good time today, and I feel just like praising the Lord right now. Anybody else feel like praising God tonight? You know, we got to praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noonday. Praise Him when the sun go down. Come on, put your hand together. Come on. Yeah. All right. All right. Woo. Come on, let's get together tonight. Come on.
Higher, 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 higher